At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, and welcome to this episode of Technically Short. In this episode, I got to sit down with Leah Gosowski. Well, you heard it from her husband last week, and this conversation was fantastic. She really dived into her faith a lot about what it means to follow your passions and follow your goals while your dreams, while also laying them down whenever the sacrifice needs to be made. What does that mean? Well, we'll dive into that a lot during the episode, so make sure to stick around for the whole thing. Also, if you would be so kind to leave a word review, an actual review of this episode or of the podcast on Apple or Spotify, that would be fantastic. And it really helps out the algorithm and lets people know what you think. And then also give us a follow and a 5-star review. All right. See you in the episode. All right, guys. So I'm here with Leah Gosowski.
Hello.
And Leah, you know, last week you heard from Rob, and her husband, and I think a lot of things I said about Rob, I could also say about Leah. But she also, like, usually I have things written down as like an intro piece, but as we were saying earlier, I was less prepared. Leah's definitely one. Like I told listeners hearing this for a second time, but I was telling Rob one of the main things I vividly remember from both of you was that you guys were the first people to show me how to worship outside in the home.
Wow.
And that was whenever we were there, I was there with Austin, and you guys put something from the upper room on the TV, and you were like, do you know what they're saying? Do you know what this means? And I'm like, I was like, no. But it was that was definitely like a pinnacle point of like me like really growing in my faith.
Wow.
And
that's beautiful.
I think there's, just for the listeners, like Leah, like she's definitely one of those people that always have a smile on her face, and that you see whenever you see her, I don't know, like she has this like fun, kind of sometimes goofy, like personality that does brighten up the room, and I think is really also very good with very prominent for what she does leading Amplify Youth. Leah, for those who don't know you and maybe didn't want to know you a little bit more, who is Leah Gosowski?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Thomas. I'm so excited to be here. I think anytime I'm asked to share anything, it's such an honor. I don't take that lightly. I don't know who recommended me to Thomas, but when I say thank you, it's absolutely honoring and I'm very flattered. So thank you. Who am I? Wow. What a loaded question. So a little bit about me. I love Jesus. That's probably the most important thing. I am a wife to Rob Gosowski, who you guys heard from, before you're hearing this, maybe you're not, maybe you're listening to this first, but if you haven't heard from him, you will hear from him. And so I am married to Rob. We've been married for about 4 years now, going on five years, married for 4 years. I'm not actually on staff at the church. I am a volunteer. I volunteer probably, I don't know, I can't put hours to it, but it's probably like part-time equivalent. It's what I do in my time outside of work. Okay. So kind of like, I guess, bivocational season of my life. So I help lead Amplify Youth, our youth group at our church, which we love so much. And I also I'm actually just starting a new job. So I recently, just this last week, finished out my job at a wonderful organization where I was able to serve veterans who were at risk for homelessness or experiencing homelessness. It was extremely rewarding and absolutely amazing what God has been able to do in just my, I've only been there for like 6 months. So in that time, that was really beautiful. And now next week, I'm going to be getting a job as a project manager at a nonprofit in downtown Pittsburgh, and they focus on trauma-informed community development. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be project managing there. And I start that on Monday, so that's very exciting.
Awesome.
So that's kind of like what I do, I guess. I just share a lot about what I do, but who am I? I love Jesus, and I really just want people to know Jesus. I want people to know him for themselves and to be able to walk out their faith in every aspect of their life and not just have a relationship on Sundays, but that really is what drives me. So that's who I am. I also have three dogs. We have three dogs, and we also are believing for a family. So we're believing for a baby that in the right time, God's going to give us a healthy baby. So that's just a little bit about me. Yeah. And I like to travel. That's probably important too. I really like to travel, and I like brunch. I like breakfast food.
No, I love breakfast. I haven't had breakfast in such a long time.
It is my favorite type of food. I can have it at any time of day. Mm-hmm. Go to like Denny's and get, I think they have like the slam, the breakfast slam. Any time of day, you can find me eating breakfast food. It's the best.
That's great. What's the name of the nonprofit?
So the one that I was recently working for is called Shepherd's Heart Fellowship. Mm-hmm. And the one that I'm going to be working for is called Neighborhood Resilience Project.
Okay.
So if you're wondering, if you're like looking for good causes and organizations to look into, if you're listening to this, you should check them out because God is doing some really amazing work through them.
Neighborhood Resilience Project. Isn't that, that's what Key works for.
It is.
Yeah. I've heard this before.
Yes. And if you haven't had him on the podcast, he's a good person to ask as well. So
he was like one of our two remote episodes. We actually have a video for his.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. I love that.
That was also one we did. Sean was here for.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
That's great.
But the, so this podcast, technically short and soon to be rebranded, is about, really about pursuing your calling and like really what we're talking about, like what that means and really all aspects of calling, purpose, etc. So like these two things that you've done recently, like, or will be one that we will be doing soon, I feel like there's a very particular passion that you have, and could you dive into that? What is this passion that you have?
Yeah, I mean, there's sometimes ways that's hard to explain it because I do believe there's things that I feel like I'm passionate about that I don't fully know why, if that makes sense. You're kind of like, where does this come from?
For
like,
sure.
Does this make any sense? I do believe God gives each and every one of us very specific things that we're drawn to, that we're gifted in, that we're passionate about, and that we just deeply, that breaks our hearts, right? Like, my hope would be from not only my life, but for everyone that...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I'm discipling or I'm walking with or just doing life with would be that we would allow God to break our hearts for what breaks his. Mm-hmm. And I think though sometimes that can specifically show up in a maybe sometimes a very specific need, right? Like there are certain people who are very, very passionate and drawn to certain causes.
Yeah.
I'm probably drawn to like a handful of them. But each one, I think I've been able to kind of see God's guidance in my life looking back. I think when I was, for me, it started when I was really, really little. I remember I went to a really small private Christian school, like really small, when I was young. And I remember one time driving downtown for something with my dad, and I remember seeing like a homeless encampment and, you know, tents and things. And I remember, I think that's the first time that I recall asking my dad, "Hey dad, like what's going on here? And I was kind of like, I was initially sad about it. I was very sad. I was a little confused, like, what's going on here? And then as my dad was kind of teaching me about just, hey, this is the situation that some people are in, and it's a complex situation.
Yeah.
And I'm a little kid asking about it. And I remember just at first feeling really sad and then very angry. And angry, like, for them of I don't really know what's going on, but I just want to do something about it. I was moved with compassion. Mm-hmm. So I think from a really, really young age, I've had a lot of compassion. And when I was like 9 years old, I wanted to be a missionary. Like, I remember in my church, like every second Sunday of the month, we'd have like Mission Sunday. And in kids' church, they would highlight some missionary in some part of the world where in some places it was harder to advance the gospel and share about Jesus than others, right? Mm-hmm. And they would share about these different cultures and these different places where missionaries are trying to share the word of God. And I remember hearing that and being like, oh my gosh, there's people who don't know about Jesus. And so I think there's like a couple different facets of it. But as I've gotten older, I think I've seen just a thread of things that sometimes I'm like, yeah, God, why is this why this thing?
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know that I know a reason why, other than I think that it's given by God. And it's because he wants his name to be known. He wants to get the glory. But also I think we have a part to play in the restoration, right? So he specializes in restoring. I mean, we see it all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and after the fall, we're in the Garden of Eden, and then the fall happens, and then we go all the way to the end of Revelation, and where do we end up? Right back in his presence, unhindered by anything in the new heavens and new earth. And so he's in the process of restoration, and I think that that's kind of been a theme for me is, how can I be an agent of that restoration, specifically in the areas of serving people who are, what really stirs my heart is people who maybe are in need or under-resourced, underprivileged, marginalized, kind of like the people who are on the outs of society and the culture, but also sharing, it's like bottom line is like sharing Jesus.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of actions we can do that also share Jesus. So I've kind of just seen this theme in my life all the way from probably that experience seeing a homeless encampment too when I was in college. And I remember like when I first kind of gave my life to Jesus, started going to church, I'm like, I want to go on a missions trip and kind of getting experience for missions. But then even here at home, really feeling heartbroken by injustice and seeing injustice and knowing people who've experienced it and just being like, okay, God, what is my part to play? And it's kind of like a weird thing to explain, but it's like this, I don't know. Maybe if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. Thomas, you may know what I'm talking about. But it's like when there's something that just moves your spirit so much, it kind of can feel like, for me, it will feel like this, like, this is such a weird way to explain it, but it's the only way I know how. It's like a stirring in your spirit, or like almost in like your stomach. It's, and you're like, I have to move. I have to act now.
Yeah.
I have an urgency around it. And then I get frustrated if I can't move. So I hope that answers the question. I think it's from God. And I don't fully always know what he wants to do with it, other than I'm just one piece of the puzzle of his big picture. And I just want to play whatever piece that is in that restoration.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Cause that's a lot of how you answered that question. Like I do 100% understand that and get that, because at least from like the perspective of not knowing where the passion comes from sometimes, because like, yeah, I won't dive too far into mine, cause I feel like the listeners have heard my stuff a lot. I 100% get that. I feel like there's going to be some listeners that like, That's one thing I'm like, I want to make a solo episode about about passion. Mm-hmm. That's something we talked about, Rob and I talked about even, like, where do you start? Like, you start with the passion. Like, what are you, like, it's like, I hear this is a whole tangent I could go on, but there's a whole, like, there's something I could, like, okay, real quick. There's this advice that people give that they say, like, don't start with your passion. People say, like, don't start with your passionate about, because you could be passionate about the wrong things. And I'm like, that's true. But I'm like, it's also, for me, I'm like, I feel like passion itself is a building block. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to start somewhere. And so like, and like some people, like, if like they talk about like making money, like you want to make money, don't start with what you're passionate about. And I was like, well, that's like, mm-hmm. and I feel like that defeats the purpose of purpose. I feel like, if you're not passionate about what you're doing, then I don't see a point to it.
I think that's interesting. I think personally, I do kind of see where someone's coming from. I think we do have to be cautious in that regard of what actually, what are we passionate about? Because specifically as believers, I believe that God does position us and calls us, and he uniquely gifts us even for certain things that he's asked us to do. I mean, there's a lot of things I'm passionate about.
Right.
I don't think I'm good enough to even like work in those areas, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have things I deeply, deeply care about, but I think that maybe I'm not the one who's meant to, maybe it's not right, not a right now thing. I would say if someone is like, what do I do with this? I would mm-hmm. My continuous thing I go back to is just asking God, break my heart for what breaks yours.
Yeah.
And don't be surprised when you, cause here's the thing. If I'm here for a certain amount of time on this earth,
yeah.
I want it to be for something worthy of living for. And I mean, I do believe that's Jesus. And I believe that when we're following Jesus, when we give him our lives, we give him our time. Sometimes we even have to sacrifice those passions and dreams.
Yeah.
We have to sacrifice them and be like, okay, God, if they are actually of you, if they're from him,
right.
he's going to make them grow in his time. Mm-hmm. And we have to trust that. So I kind of am like I'm agreeing with both of those sentiments.
Yeah.
Because passion is also hard. I mean, we sometimes refer to Jesus's death and death on the cross as like the passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
And here's the interesting thing about passion. It's like, it's probably at some point, you're probably going to have to suffer for it. Mm-hmm. And so if it's something if you're not willing to count the cost of that thing, you might want to, might want to slow down because it's costly. I do believe when God asks you to lay down your life for something greater than you, it's a costly thing. Mm-hmm. And I do think we can have worthwhile pursuits and pursuits that really aren't as grand as we think they are. Like, mm-hmm. like in our minds, they may be the most significant thing,
yeah.
but to God, he's like, hey, let me show you what really truly matters to me. And honestly, he can do so much more.
Yeah.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
There's so much more than what we want, what we desire. We're just in service to him, and mm-hmm. what he wants is greater because he's a good God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like, I don't know if you like, technically we're pushing back, but like,
no, I agree with both. I see both
but like,
at the same time.
Like, I appreciate that because no, I want different perspectives. And like, I like you said, you were talking about like sacrifice and like things that you have to sacrifice for your passions. Has that ever happened? Like, what are there some of these things you've had to give up for your passions?
Absolutely. I mean, not everybody is called to, you know, be a pastor in the church or be like even in the church world. I mean, we want, it's our desire that people would serve and contribute to the local church. Right. But even speaking from a like more ministry focused perspective, I mean, there's a lot of things I feel like you have to sacrifice. In that role specifically, when you're in a pastoral position, I mean, you have to, in general, if I would say, even just following Jesus, there's so many things I've had to sacrifice. I mean, you have to sacrifice what seems fun in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a cost.
Yeah.
What seems really, really fun and good to you in the moment, or may seem fun and good to everybody else, you gotta lay that down.
Yeah.
Like, my desire to, you know, I want to go do what everybody else around me is doing, what the world's doing, and you have to lay that down because it's not always what you're meant to be doing. Mm-hmm. It looks like sacrificing time. I mean, there's a lot of times where if I don't, and this is just life. I mean, I think, yes, boundaries, there's healthy boundaries to have, whether you are working a full-time job or you're in vocational ministry, like no matter where you are, you need to have healthy boundaries. At the same time, sometimes life just happens. And it happens to you and it happens to the people around you. And there's times I've had to sacrifice my comfort, my time for to kind of sit with somebody when they're really struggling with something and they're like, I need someone right now, and be like, okay, I'm gonna sacrifice what I want in this moment to kind of be with this person and hold them, mm-hmm. create space for them. I think that's something that you have to sacrifice. And I think honestly, like my own dreams in yeah. some ways I've had to sacrifice. There's things that years ago I was like, I really want to see this thing and see this thing. I don't think all those things were bad. I mean, I have my therapist a really long time ago when we first started meeting, she encouraged me to create like a dream journal. Mm-hmm. And so I have this dream journal at home that I have, like, that's my go-to, where like if I have sometimes I get like really big ideas, like whether it's a business or a ministry or just something I really want to, this would be cool to see, yeah. Just to keep my like creativity flowing. And she encouraged me to do that. She said, and then when you get some more ideas, you go and you write and you make it as detailed as possible, mm-hmm. like just dream. Like yeah. if you had all the resources and what would it look like and all this stuff. And if I were to go look back on that, you would find that like there's not many of those mm-hmm. that have actually come to fruition. Yeah. And that's okay.
Right.
And I think that there's, if we're being honest, even my dream to be a mom one day, to be a parent, that might not happen in my timing. And so I think you have to sacrifice, and no matter what you're doing, I've had to sacrifice, like, this is what I want versus this is what's actually happening. You have to like yeah. balance this tension of unmet expectations, but trusting that when we say yes to whatever God's asking us to do, it's going to be so much better. I mean, I never ever in my life wanted to be a pastor.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, ever. I mean, I wanted to be a missionary, and it was not something that was on the table for me at some point. It was like, I want to work at a church, and this is the position I want to, you know, it was never a goal of mine ever. However, God has a way of when you say yes to him, taking your yes and turning it to a million different things. When I was in, I went to college for finance and economics, which is like hilarious because I don't do like really anything right now. Maybe I will soon, but I don't do anything directly. And I remember graduating college, and my dream at that time was, I want to go into investment banking and I'm going to make a ton of money. And then, and like, you know, I'm going to be married by 27. I had like my life planned out basically yeah. in my mind. When I said yes to Jesus, when I laid all that down, I mean, I can't tell you how fast all of that just completely, every plan that I had, I remember it was to the point where I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm going to take off some time after I graduate, because I wanted to go and do like economic research.
Yeah.
And I had a pastor, a college pastor at the time, who he kind of laughed at me, and he was like, why would you do that? He's like, you should do something for ministry, because we all know that's what you're going to be doing anyways. And I didn't see that. Like, mm-hmm. I did not see that at the time. But I did end up graduating. And instead of going into work and what I had originally hoped to do, I felt God instead through, and it's a really long story that we don't have to get into. But it was just a really long series of events over like a year where I felt God actually stirring my heart to go do like yeah. a longer term type trip. And so through that opportunity, got to go spend like 4 months in Kigali, Rwanda in East Africa, and serving in a ministry there. And let me tell you, when I experienced that, I came back from that, I just remember thinking like, wow, God has really completely transformed every dream that I had. I mean, I ended up getting married at 22, when I thought, I was like, in my mind, I want to get married in my late 20s. And, you know, I had all these plans.
Yeah.
My plans went out the window whenever I said yes to what God was asking me to do. And I've had to let some things die. And if they're meant to happen, we have to trust God in his good time is going to make it happen. And his time is always, always, always so much better than ours. And looking now back at all of that, I'm like, wow, the places that God has put me, the relationships, the people that we get to meet, yeah. the people we've gotten to serve, I'm like, wow,
yeah.
this is so much better.
yeah.
This is so much better. I, and I, And even in this place of, I never expected to be where I am even now, going back kind of into like a regular full-time job, I wasn't expecting that. That also wasn't on my radar this year. But even in that, I'm like, God, you're so good. And how he takes our yes, our laid down life, and he makes it something so much more than I could ever ask or think or imagine.
Man, there's like one thing that you said a lot about, and I'm curious because my hope is that this podcast doesn't just reach Christians, but people that believe in God, but all the people that don't. And so for those, like you were saying the term like lay down a lot. For those that maybe don't understand what that means, like to lay down something like for God, or just lay down something in general, like what does that mean? Like you were like, you dove into it a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about that.
If you're a follower of Jesus, you're probably familiar with this passage. I actually don't remember which gospel it's in. I think I wrote it down though, as I was, praying and thinking about, being on this show. Jesus says, he tells the disciples to, take up their cross and follow him. Mm-hmm. And when we think of the crucifixion, we think of the cross, we see it now as a sign of victory, right? Because we know Jesus died, he rose again, the tomb's empty. So we're able, as believers, we look at the cross today, thousands of years later, we see a symbol of victory in life.
Yeah.
And forgiveness. Like, this is what we see. But in that time, as Jesus is saying, hey, take up your cross and follow me, he's literally saying, I mean, like, it's a torture device. It's a means of death and execution. He's literally saying, take up your cross, this thing, this symbol of death, and follow me. I mean, that's not exactly like a war rally cry.
Yeah.
If you think about it, you're like, Jesus, what are you saying? I believe what he's saying is like, if you want to follow me, die so that you may live. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's not saying, you know, like physically die. He's saying death in the sense of like, die to yourself, die to your desires, what you think is best, your plans, your dreams, your way of life, everything that is you, like, let it die and take up that cross and follow me. And I believe he's basically saying, like, let those things literally be crucified. Mm-hmm. And along with the things getting crucified is our sin, and it is our shame. But it's also the human nature in us, that it's like selfishness. It's what we want. It's our selfish ambition.
Yeah.
And it, die and follow me. And so not only does that translate to just salvation and being saved, right? I'm turning from my way, which is, repentance is the big word we use for it. I'm turning away from my sin, my desires, my old way of living, that's completely driven by what I want, what I feel. You know, our whole world tells us, follow your dreams.
Yeah.
Right? Follow your dreams. And, you know, the world is your oyster. Like, I think nobody actually says that. I think I'm the only one that says that. I think I'm the only one who like has ever said that. I don't know. But basically the world tells us everything is just so like, you know, you are the author of your blah, 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 your destiny. None of that is biblical.
Yeah.
None of that's in the Bible. He does not say, follow your dreams. He says, take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
And to deny yourself. And so not only is that true for when we give our lives to Jesus and we're saying no to our old way, no to what we want to do, yes to him, but I think it translates to everything. I mean, I think even when I'm praying about the kind of parents we want to be, there are certain things that I think about that I'm like, huh, you know, maybe I'd be okay, you know, raising our kid to do this, and this is the way I think, but then I have to be like, whoa, is that actually what God is going to lead us to do? You know, mm-hmm. Even in my career, it's like, this may be what I really, really want, but is it what God wants for me? Mm-hmm. And it's really just putting God, when I say lay it down, it's like putting God at the focus and center of your life in such a way that like, he's not an afterthought. It's not like I'm just going to do this thing. And then later, hey God, can you bless this? Like after the fact, but it's like, no God, what do you want to do? What do you want to make out of my life?
Yeah.
And just laying down those desires. Cause sometimes it's not that our desires, I want to say this. It's not that our desires are always bad. Because I think sometimes, people hearing like Christians speak about desires and sins and things, it's like every emotion that I have is bad and every desire is bad. That's not true. Mm-hmm. Actually, desires are given to us from God.
Yeah.
Like he's given us the ability to want things and desire things. And there's a lot of good things we desire. We have a lot of good emotions. I mean, it's a good thing he's given us emotions because it's a signal. Feelings are like a signal of what's going on. Like I'm angry. Oh, why am I angry? But these things aren't meant to, our desires aren't meant to rule us. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of certain passages at the moment, but there's definitely passages where the word specifically talks about people who are driven by their own selfish ambition, their desires, and what ends up happening mm-hmm. to them. And so when I say lay it down, I mean like, and for someone who is not a believer, that might be a little bit harder for them because they've not yet made that decision to completely give their life to Jesus as a response of him giving his life to us. So I think it's just sacrifice mm-hmm. is simply, I think, what that means.
Okay.
I hope that makes sense.
No, I think it does. I think you wrapped it up well with that, saying that it's really what it is a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And giving up what your desires are mm-hmm. for something greater.
Yeah. And if you don't trust God, that's going to be hard for you.
Yeah.
That's going to be really hard. But God is a trustworthy God and he's a good God. And we've seen his track record. And so whether it's parenting, whether it's your job, whether it's friendships, whether it's marriage, like, is this the right things I should be looking for in a spouse? Like no matter what area it mm-hmm. is, I feel like when you trust Jesus, you will find that what he's drawing you to do will lead to so much more life and health and joy and peace than when you are in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it kind of leads me into another question. Like, there's, whenever we, like, we're pursuing our callings, we're laying things down. Like, there's two parts to this question as I'm thinking. Like, one, like, how do you know you're actually on the right path? There's one question. How do you know you're actually heading in that right direction? And then part two, which we'll come back to, is like, how do you do that confidently?
Hmm. Are you speaking? So when you say, how do you know you're headed in the right direction? What are you referring to?
How do you know, like, or is it possible to know, like, what you're working on? Yeah, like, whatever you're working on in the moment, you believe you're working in a passion, that something you're passionate about, and something gets in the way. And then you get discouraged and think, okay, well, maybe this is God closing a door.
Mm, yeah.
But maybe it's, then the other part of me, that's how my brain works. Like, maybe it's God closing a door, or maybe it's God just challenging me to be like, okay, double down. Like, there's like, so I'm like, how do you know? That's like, and this is a loaded question.
Yeah. It's a good question though, because I think there's something interesting when we think about, like, you know, what are we called? We use the word, if you're a churchy person, if you've been in church for a while, you'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, we use the phrase, like, I feel called to this. Like, we use it so much sometimes that I'm like, do we know? Do we actually know what we're saying?
Right.
And so I think what's helpful is first, before I answer that question, to kind of define a little bit, like, and this is very specific. So if you are not a Christian, like, stay with me. Okay. This also applies to you, even though you may not know it, but stick with me. The number one thing we're called to is to Christ.
Yeah.
We are called to Jesus. I wrote down a verse. This is in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then in John, he says, this is to my Father's glory, mm-hmm. that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Mm-hmm. and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And so we know from the word, we see Jesus, we are called to Jesus, and we're called to fellowship. This is a very Christianese word.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're called to fellowship. We're called to know him.
Yeah.
Also called to be like him. And a lot of times people are like, I'm trying to figure out what I'm called to do. It's like, okay, well, start there.
Yeah.
Start with that thing. I'm called to know Jesus, and I'm called to be like him. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you also see throughout all of the scripture, things you're called to within that. So being like Jesus looks like we're called to love people. We're called to love people how Christ loved us. We are called to, in humility, honor one another above ourselves. We're called to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Like, we can see revealed in some parts of the Bible revealed what we're called to do. And so I think we need to start there.
Yeah.
Because here's why I'm saying that. Because what you're asking is such a real thing that we deal with, and I will give an example. So we are now youth pastoring. Both my husband and I, we've been youth pastoring for maybe, like, I don't know, almost, we're going into month 7. And both of us are working jobs outside of the church that we were not expecting. Mm-hmm. And for three or four years prior to that, we were campus pastoring. So we were in a different location. We were just in a different area of ministry, right? And I remember, like, you know, things change. So my thing is, like, what happens when what you're asking, I think it's a good question, because it's like, well, what happens when we feel like we're really, really called to something? And then something happens that it wasn't our choosing. It wasn't our doing. Maybe it was someone else's, or maybe it was, like, I don't know, circumstantial. You know, this job has to, if you know, you get laid off or something. Like, mm-hmm. That's something that's an external thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's internal things that happen that we have to leave certain positions and certain jobs and things like that. So something similar to that actually happened last year. similar thing happened to us, to my husband and I, where, like, last year I was in a groove. I was like just when I was getting comfortable with accepting that, like, this is where God had me. There were just a series of events that happened that led to, we're no longer in those positions anymore.
Yeah.
And it wasn't our doing. It wasn't our decision. And so with some shifting and changing, and sometimes that happens, especially, like, with organizations and churches and all kinds of things. Sometimes things change and you're in transition, and you didn't ask to be in transition. And I remember in January, I was jobless. And I was just sitting, because my job wasn't really no longer available. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an option to return to that position, which at that time, Rob was a campus pastor. I was a community pastor and really, like, running discipleship in small groups, which I love so much. And I remember kind of wrestling with that and being like, well, God, I really believed that you called us. You know, you called us to a certain community. You called us to a certain thing. And I remember kind of getting a little frustrated with, like, you know, why is this happening, God? I don't really understand. And what I believe God was showing me in that is reminding me that I'm called to him before I'm called to anything else. And so, like, it's harder. I would say it's easier to kind of accept when it's not your decision to leave something, mm-hmm. or get, you know, you can get discouraged. I think a lot easier when it, like, how do I word this? When it's an external factor.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot, maybe it's not. It can still be confusing, but I think it's easier to accept. Sometimes it's an external thing. It's a lot harder to discern when, like, organization's going great. Everything's super healthy. And, but for some reason, I'm like, God is telling me to leave this, you know? Yeah. So I think that those are maybe two different types of things, but no matter what situation you're in, whenever you're like, I'm called to this thing and things get shaken up, we have to first and foremost come back to the fact that we are called to Jesus and we're called mm-hmm. to be like him before we're called to anything else. Yeah. And that really helped me because for a solid month, we begin youth pastoring. And I remember kind of like sitting there and praying and like, God, I really am. I'm confused. Like, does this calling, like, what does this mean? And here's what I think happened to me. And I'm not saying this happens, but here's what happened. Here's what I believe happened to me. And I'm certain it has happened to other people because there's nothing new under the sun. I think that I was putting too much maybe stock into very specifically like where I was and what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And to the point where I think I was letting that become more a part of my identity and my why than who I was in Jesus and what he's asked me to do, if that is making any sense. And I think it's important to come back to us being called to know Jesus and to be like him, because we can get caught up. It's like, okay, well, if I'm telling you, Thomas, I'm called to, you know, this role at this company, but like 2 weeks from then I get fired.
Yeah.
And I put all my stock in like, I feel I'm called to this specific position at this specific business and whatever. Okay, well, God didn't make the mistake here.
Yeah.
Right? So I think we have to, in humility, come back to this place of it's God who calls and it's God who qualifies and he calls us to himself. Mm-hmm. So when we know that, that makes it for me so much easier to understand. Okay. Now, I will say this. I believe he calls us to himself and to be like him, but I do believe he places us in certain roles for a certain time.
Yeah.
I believe for that season, for those couple years, we were meant to be, we were called to those people, that congregation. I also believe though that more broadly, I think that could be summed up. I think I've been called to make disciples, mm-hmm. which is also biblical. I think, and that also applies no matter where you are.
Yeah.
So even at this new job, I think I'm called to represent Christ there.
Yeah.
And I think we have to keep coming back to him, because what ends up happening is we'll put the object that we, you know, I'm called to preach and teach the word. And if in your mind, it's always on a stage, but that's never the place that you're preaching, you're going to be waiting your whole life to get on that stage.
Yeah.
When it may never happen, that might not be the specific place that you're meant to do that. But maybe you're meant to preach and teach the word, you know, in your small group or one-on-one and showing people the word, right? We can't let these, like, how we expect it to look mm-hmm. to hinder what God actually wants to do in us. And so I think that answered your question.
Yeah.
But that's a tricky thing because we can get discouraged.
Yeah.
That was a discouraging thing for me to be like, oh man, I just got in my groove. Like, you know, I'm getting comfortable here in this place of pastoring in this specific role. And it's a lot more uncomfortable for me right now, if I'm being really honest, to return to a 9-to-5 job. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I've not yet maybe been in a role specifically like this. I've done similar things, but there's things about going back into like a regular 9-to-5 job that are kind of intimidating to me. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of moments of like, God, is this really, you know, what you have me doing? But when I look at every single step, so to answer your question more directly of like, how do I know? I think there's a lot of ways that we can know. I think one is obviously testing everything with the word of God. Are our decisions, bring honor and glory to God? Are they reflecting his heart? I think another thing is like wise counsel. Mm-hmm. Just being honest. I mean, before we accepted the yes to youth pastoring, one thing that we did was we spent time praying. We sat with people that we really trust, godly people that we love and trust. We sat for hours. I'm not kidding. Hours talking about it, praying about it. And when we had left that conversation, Rob and I had so much peace. Mm-hmm. And we really felt, okay, God, this is lining up for what we feel like you're saying to us. I also think too, it's like, do you have gifting and skill in that area? Like what aligns with your gift and your skill? Like for me, I'm not an overly analytical person, right? So for me to be, if I feel like I were to get an offer or something for a job that's me sitting and analyzing data all day, every day.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Which is basically what my husband's really good at. But for me, absolutely not. I mean, that's going to drain me. I'm going to be exhausted. Now, we are going to have to do things sometimes that do not always align directly with our gifting. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality. That's life.
Yeah.
We have to accept that. But when I think of places, I think God is so good that he does. I mean, he knows us. He knows how he designed us. He's our creator. I do believe he positions us in places Sometimes it plays exactly to our strengths, and sometimes it's meant to stretch us. Mm-hmm. But no matter where we are, we have to know that He's got us there for a bigger plan and a bigger purpose. Mm-hmm. And typically we have a very poor theology of work. Mm-hmm. Like typically we're like, you know, I have to be working. I mean, Paul was an apostle, but he also was a tent maker. Like he did make tents on the side here and there because he wanted to raise money to be able to fund his mission, which mm-hmm. was to go and plant churches and share the gospel to the Gentiles. Like he did that on the side. And so that means, you know what? Sometimes I may, you know, I still got to provide for my family. I still got to do all these things. We may not always be doing things that we feel directly, you know, goes along with this grand thing that we think, but that doesn't mean it's any less worthy to God. It doesn't mean that it means less. Like mm-hmm. every single thing that we do, every vocation has, we are able to work in such a way that it brings honor and shows people who God is by how we work and how we show up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think your second part of your question, it was, how do you walk in that confidently?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one. How do I walk confidently? I think there's a couple high level things to that, but I also think there's practical. How are you confident? You have to be confident in who God is and who He made you to be. And that's honestly, it's the second part of that for me is the hardest. Like, Thomas, when you texted me, I think in your message, you had said something about, you said something along the lines of you view me as somebody who like is very confident mm-hmm. of what is called that God called them to be. And I laughed at that at first because I was like, you know, sometimes I don't know if I'm there's so many moments I've had in the last 5 years of my life where I'm like, God, are you sure? Mm-hmm. Are you sure you got the right one? So that kind of made me, I was like, wow, that's amazing that someone would think that. Cause I'm not always confident.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're confident in the wrong things. Like there's times I've been really confident in my ability to do something only to find out, like, I don't know actually what I'm doing. And sometimes it takes me longer to realize that than it should. Mm. But I think how we walk confidently is we have to take God at His word that he does have us where He has us for a reason, and He's going to use that for His purpose, no matter what you're doing. So if you're, you know, you might view your job, if you're like an accountant, it's like, I'm just an accountant. You're not just an accountant. You are in your job. You are able to show people who God is by how excellent you work, how you're showing up to your coworkers, by your diligence in your job. Like God has positioned you every place that you are for a purpose, even if you don't know it yet, even mm-hmm. if you don't see it. Like we see this part of the story. If you guys can't see what I'm doing with my hand, but I've got a little dot right in front of me. We see this part of the story. God is seeing every single dot in every single place. Like He's seeing the big picture. So we have to be confident that He knows what He's doing, even when we don't know, even when things shake up on us. Like I look back at that season when I'm like, oh, I wasn't really confident. I'm like, okay, we kind of just got like life kind of switched up on us. Like our whole church community is different now.
Yeah.
And that was really uncomfortable and painful at the time. I look back and I'm like, I see God's hand and I see, wow, okay, God, that chapter was coming to a close. And I don't know that if He would not have positioned us out of it, that we would have willingly, you know, wanted mm-hmm. to move on. I don't know. And so in His kindness, I see Him doing that. So I think we have to trust that He knows what He's doing more than we know what we're doing. I also think practically speaking, how we continue is like, man, we got to be encouraged. Like you need people around you who are speaking life into you, who are praying for you, who are able to encourage in those moments, because you will probably get discouraged. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to happen at some point if it hasn't happened, especially when things happen unexpectedly. You lose the job, your community changes, your life gets shaken up a little bit. It's going to happen. The word promises that that's going to happen. We're going to experience trial and tribulation in this life. We got to have people in our corner who are there to encourage us, speak life into us, pray for us, and also like be wise. They're going to tell us how it is. Like this is so funny. Like if I had someone come to me and they're like, oh, you know, I feel like I'm called to be a missionary in, I don't know, Thailand. But when I, but as someone who is walking with them, if I'm not seeing maybe consistent qualities of like, I might be like, hey, let's have an honest conversation of, you know, why do you feel you're called to this? Because I think sometimes emotions can kind of drive, and we need wise people around us who ideally love the Lord and are able to speak life. I also think how we walk confidently is like, we got to understand that we don't know what we think we know. Mm-hmm. That's true with everything. You don't actually know as much as you think you know. You're not the smartest. You should, hopefully you're not the smartest person in the room. You should surround yourself with people who've been where you have not yet been.
Yeah.
I think we need people. I feel like at all points in our lives, we need people who've gone ahead of us.
Yeah.
We need people who are kind of like either right where we are, maybe in it with us. And then we also need to have somebody who's not yet where we are, who we're able to guide. Like, that's how discipleship works. That's how I believe like mentorship works. We're all called to do discipleship. Sometimes it looks formal like mentorship. Sometimes it looks like natural relationship. But I think that we need people who have kind of been ahead of where we are. We need to be humble and listen to them. We need to be willing, and we need to be willing to admit when we make a mistake. When we don't get it right, we have to be willing to admit that, because we're not always going to get it right. And understand, like, oh my gosh, people, this used to be me. Sometimes we're so afraid to make a move with anything because we're so afraid of, you know, what if I make this one decision and, you know, what if I make this one decision and everything falls apart? If we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, He's going to guide us exactly. His Spirit's going to guide us exactly where we need to be. He's always drawing us back to Him. He's going to guide us to where we need to be. So even if you make a mistake, even if you slip up, something happens, you make the wrong decision, as long as we, in humility, we turn and say, hey, I need some help. I do believe God is going to lead us down the right path. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are some ways that I've grown in more in confidence, because I've learned to rely on God more than I rely on my own strength, but also even what other people think of me. Like, I can easily get too caught up in that.
Yeah.
And I just need to remember, like, this is who God is. This is how He sees me. Mm-hmm. And I think that He's going to guide us to where exactly we need to be, as long as we've got Him on the forefront. And that sounds really simple, I know. But I believe it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, when we've got our eyes locked on Him, man, the word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll make your path straight. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Moments when I have no idea what I'm doing, I'm like, God, I have this person in front of me who, like, I can't relate to your experience. Mm-hmm. Like, I've worked with people who are experiencing homelessness. I have no idea what that's like. Mm-hmm. And it can be really easy to kind of be like, okay, God, I'm inadequate in this area. I'm a girl from suburbia. Mm-hmm. I've never had to, you know, we don't have the same experience.
Right.
But when I remind myself, I don't have the same experience as this person, but I do believe that God has positioned me in this moment to be the one to, I'm able to love them. I'm able to serve them. And He has given me a heart of compassion to be able to meet them where they are. And I don't have to pretend. I don't have to pretend to be somebody else. I just need to be who God has asked me to be, and just be there for that person and help them the best that I can. Mm-hmm. And there's been many times I've kind of had like a imposter syndrome because of that. Cause I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Thank God, I need you. I need you to show me what to do. There's times where I think I know what I'm doing and I'm like kind of steady, but then I feel like there's always something that pops up that's like, okay. And then I'm like, okay, God, I'm not really confident here, and God will remind me, I'm here.
Yeah.
Let me show you what to do. Let me show you how to respond in this situation.
Hmm. Man, I have like so many more questions I want to ask, but I want to get to the point where we wrap up. But no, just to like kind of summarize what I some of the notes I took was like, if you don't know where to start, you start with Jesus.
Yeah.
And you... And like that, if like, even if you're already a Christian that's been walking, you don't know where, you don't know what your calling is, you don't know where you're going, like, you can start with just seeking Him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, He will guide you.
Yeah.
And like there's like, because to what you were saying, like, way in the beginning about like the passions and like not showing what, like not showing why you're passionate about whatever, like, like I picked up on what I was passionate about randomly, and like I didn't even know I was passionate about it until I was like really diving into like wanting to learn more about the particular topic of like understanding how people think.
Yeah.
And then yeah. I was like, oh wow. So, like, this is actually really interesting. It led me down all these other paths that seemingly had nothing to do with that, but then all these other skills I learned in respect to what I was doing are now going to be contributing. They contribute to this podcast, mm-hmm. like, which I believe is part of my calling. I wanted to be on stage. I wanted to have a microphone because I felt like I had things to say. And then two people told me that I should start a podcast, like, not knowing that part of me. And then I was like, but even before then, they were saying that, I was like, I should think, like, maybe I'll start a podcast at some point. And then people were like, yeah, you should just do one. And like, without me, like, prompting them, I was like,
I love that.
I was like, eventually, yeah. It happened. And so I think, like, for people who don't know what they're doing, don't know what they're doing. people that...
You're unsure of what you're called to do.
Yeah.
That's funny. yes.
Like, it's, like, very basic advice, but I don't think enough people follow it, that you just start.
Yeah, you just start. And I mean, I love what you just said, Thomas, of, like... like actually take inventory, and this is hard to do. It's really hard for us to be like, what am I actually good at?
Yeah.
Take some time and actually sit down, get like a pen and a notebook out and like ask those questions. Like, okay, what are things I like doing?
Yeah.
What are things that I'm like, I feel like I'm pretty good at? What are things other people, like you just mentioned other people, what are things other people have said to me about certain things? Like I had, people many times, which is, I don't know, sometimes people say things and you're like, okay, but then it like resonates somehow. When I was doing that longer term kind of mission trip in Rwanda, there were people there who affirmed me of like, oh yeah, like you, God has really gifted you to, at that time it was to, do ministry in like other cultures. People everywhere from pastors to friends to colleagues. I mean, there's like, pay attention to what people are saying to you and pointing out to you. If you're like, what am I actually supposed to be doing? Like, take a little inventory. What are the things I'm actually good at? What are the things that fuel you? Mm-hmm. Like I said, for me, like doing analytical work all day, like just looking at straight numbers on like running on a computer drains me. I'm exhausted. But what I absolutely love is like, man, when someone asks me one-on-one to meet with them and maybe they're asking a question, they're wrestling with something in the Bible, or they're just going through a life issue and they just want to bring me in. Man, I am fueled in that moment.
Yeah.
I love walking with people. It brings me energy. It brings me life. What do you love doing? And I think kind of taking inventory and kind of maybe seeing, okay, what am I good at? What am I gifted at? What are people saying to me? Actually, if you're like, nobody's around me, go find people and ask them. Mm-hmm. Hey, and maybe you can ask them to like write it down and tell you later if you're uncomfortable hearing in that moment. Say, hey, can you write down like three things that you see in me?
Yeah.
Three things that you have noticed in me. And pay attention to those things, because those things might be pretty good indicators of like practically speaking. Like I the higher level is, yes, we're called to know Jesus. On a practical level, I think there's some wisdom and kind of literally what you're saying, Thomas, you're like, you know, I thought it was this, but there's all these people around me who are kind of like, and then you kind of, your mind kind of goes like, oh, so it doesn't have to look like that.
Right.
I can actually have an impact and do what I believe God's asking me to do, but it doesn't always look how we think it looks. And so I think that's really good practical wisdom of just like taking that inventory and kind of like, okay, what now? But now maybe that even helps you like find out what jobs to apply for.
Yeah. It's like figuring out what you're like, not just what you're good at, but like, it's like what you're passionate about and why you're passionate about it.
Yeah.
Like, you can be good at a lot of things that you shouldn't be pursuing, but the,
oh yes, I love music.
Yeah.
Does that mean I should quit my job and go become a producer? No, I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
And that would take me a long time to learn the skills.
It's like, Why, like you were saying, like why, like you're doing something and you like you figure out what fuels you, and like you figure out like taking the inventory, like why does it fuel you? Like mm-hmm. what's that part of you that like you break it down to its like smallest pieces and yeah. you're like, why is this such an important thing in my life? And like why, like I didn't even know, I don't know why this is, I don't know why I'm passionate about mm-hmm. this thing. I don't know why this yeah. fuels me. I don't know why those things don't fuel me, because that other people say they should.
Yeah.
But like, that's a part of me that, but it's like, why is this such an exciting thing for me to do? And then that can help you find other things.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's not the thing that is fueling you. It's the, it in itself. It's the,
yeah.
I don't know how to word this properly, like without being vague. Because like, it's not the thing itself that is fueling you. It's, I guess if you would ask certain people, some people would say it's like, it's what you get almost after, if that makes sense. It's
yeah.
It's like, because it's like, I like what you say. Like, it's like you get fueled during
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's like the reward.
Yeah.
And it's, that's a really good way of putting it. Like I had mentioned, one thing that fuels me is like, I really love walking people, like practically speaking, right. like what does this Bible mean for my life?
Right.
I could like geek out about it. Like I love when these productive, like, okay, I know this, but how do I actually walk it out? That fuels me because why? The product of that mm-hmm. is seeing someone walk.
Yeah.
Towards Jesus and want him more, like seeing that for me, it's like what keeps me going. It energizes me in a way. I shouldn't say keeps me going, but I guess sometimes it does. It like encourages you when you're discouraged. It's the reward of the thing. Sometimes though, you might not see the reward quickly. Mm-hmm. I think that's something important to remember, as some things are a labor of love, as they say. Like there's sometimes like Thomas, how long did it take you to kind of learn what you needed to learn to be able to even start this?
Yeah,
it probably took you time, right? Like
it's funny because it took me time, but not all the things that I needed to learn. I didn't need to know all of them up front.
Right.
And two, like some of them I learned years ago. Mm-hmm. It was just knowledge that I had from like my job. I was like, oh, I know this stuff exists. It's yeah. I know an RSS feed exists. I know how to like kind of like, it's how I chose like the platform to host on and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't have like, you can, yes, you should like kind of inventory the knowledge, the things that you should know, but
but it takes time to like get, right. It takes time to like be like, yeah. get things to a place where you're like, oh, this is like a healthy mm-hmm. moving thing. Like it takes time to do that.
And you won't know everything you need to know until you start.
Right.
Because you don't know the questions to ask.
Yep. So if you're listening to this and you're like paralyzed, you've been paralyzed with indecision, take a step out in faith. I don't know what that means for you, but mm-hmm. find the person who has the expertise to ask questions. Find the mentor, pray and ask God to bring you the people and to just show you how he's uniquely designed you, because he has uniquely designed each of us
yeah.
for a plan and a purpose. And it's worth taking the time to ask him to show you what that is and guide you in that.
Think that's a great place to wrap it up, and like I have a couple ending questions, but like thank you for ending it off like that. This officially the longest episode. I've never hit the hour mark.
Oh
on
my
the
gosh, I'm so sorry. I mean, no, some things will get cut.
No, it's not. I actually like, I was watching. It's like usually like Rob's was the longest. Now yours is.
Oh Lord, I'm long winded.
Oh no, you're good. Just a final wrap up questions. When it comes to personal growth, development, pursuing one's calling, like what are some resources that you have or would recommend to people? Whether it yeah. can be anything.
I think there's some really good, I listen to some really good podcasts. I try to read a lot, but sometimes I don't always get to. But I definitely like some people's podcasts that I like a lot. Frank DiMaggio, I think he has a podcast, but I'm not certain. He definitely has some resources. He is I don't know if he's currently a pastor. He's got some really good leadership things. They're obviously, they're not always church focused.
Yeah.
They are usually broad leadership, but they're obviously Christian based, but he's amazing. John Maxwell.
Yeah.
The Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast is so good. I love his books, love his stuff. The Kyri Newhoff Leadership Podcast is really good because he interviews so many different people. I mean, he interviews everybody from like, he's interviewed like, I think famous like sports players to the CEO of Chick-fil-A to, I mean, like people in the church world and the business world. And it's always about like a different topic. He's got hundreds of episodes. Mm-hmm. He also has a blog. That's been something personally that I just enjoy the different topics, like certain things I would never think about. And, but it still talks about leadership in some way. So I really like that. Jenny Allen, probably more, I think she has some general leadership stuff, but Jenny Allen has some good stuff. And if you're somebody who, this has been a blessing to me and has helped me grow. Remember how I said before, like we just sometimes have a really poor theology of work. Like we think like, unless we're working always directly in something we love, 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 that it's like worthless, which I don't believe that's true. I do believe, I mean, God has designed us to work. There's a really great resource for anybody who might be interested in this. I love their stuff. It's called Made to Flourish. Mm. And what they do is on a larger level, they try to produce resources to equip, kind of like equip churches to be able to empower their congregation of like how their work actually matters to God, but also to advancing his name and advancing the kingdom. And I really enjoy it. So I think they've got all kinds of resources. They've got a magazine that comes out once a month. They've got some good like articles and stuff out there, everything from like economics to marriage, to the home, to the workplace, to church specifically. They've got a lot of really good stuff. I think their magazine is called Common Good Magazine. Uh-huh. Cause their whole thing is like, it's for the common good. So I really love them, highly recommend them. I've learned a lot from them about a lot of different things. So I like that. And then honestly, I listen to those things, but I also listen to a lot of like Bible teaching and lots of like sermons and things like that, because I feel like I also learn a lot about leadership and development from those things. Like I'm not, sometimes we're trying to be like better vocationally in our specific skill. Sometimes we're trying to be better with like thought leadership. Like I think there's something in all those resources I mentioned, there's probably something for everyone. So I do, those are probably the main things I go to.
Okay. I'm definitely gonna ask you for links for probably all those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I like to, I usually always put links in the
show
notes.
Yep.
Yep.
Love it. I can send them.
And then final question, who would you like to hear, do you think would be good on this podcast?
I'm trying to think who, I hope, I don't know who all has been on it so far.
Literally anybody. Like, Rob recommended F1 racer.
Oh, that would be crazy. Yeah. That would be crazy. Oh, wow. Okay. So he said someone like, that's like, I don't know. Maybe someone would. Now you've just broadened my scope. Now I'm like, oh, the world is our oyster. Wow. See? I'm the only one that says that. Such a weird saying. I don't even know what it means. It's fine. I'm going to recommend my really, really good friend, Bethany Martin.
Okay.
So Bethany is a, she's amazing. She's an amazing friend. She's an amazing follower of Jesus, but you know what? She is a great leader. Mm-hmm. She's in architectural design. She's a great leader of people. And I've kind of got to see that up close. And I think what's interesting is she is, I mean, that's her full-time job. She's a architectural designer, I guess. I was going to say designist. I'm like, what is even happening? She's amazing. And I've gotten to see her up close leading people. And the way she not only leads them, but she serves them, she cares for them. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of wisdom, I think, to share. So I'd say Bethany.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'll ask you for some contact information.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to the longest episode of Technically Short.
Hopefully it might not be that way once they cut things.
Thank you. And if you haven't already, go ahead and give us a like on, review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the podcast. 5 stars would be appreciated. And if you want to leave a review, that would be great too. Share us out on all your socials, and we will see you next time.
See ya.